Welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, July 27th, 2024. It is Season 18, Episode 26. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome into the show, everybody. If you would like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. You can check out ingamechat.net. For all the links to get in touch with us, you can also, you know, follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We're on all of those things. Email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. Streaming right now on Twitch, go to twitch.tv, search for In-Game Chat. You'll find us there, and you can watch the show live while we broadcast. And join in the chat room while we're there as well. We got Discord set up. We're going up on Discord. Find our Discord link at our website, ingamechat.net, and go to all the way to the bottom. You'll see our Discord link. Click on it, put you right into the Discord where we are, and you can pop on and chat with us, that sort of thing. Let me do this. Thanks that Bama Brian has reminded me. Do that one more time. But yeah, thanks everybody for being here. We appreciate it, and it's so great to see you. Let's get right into it and find out what we've been playing, because I have been playing absolutely nothing. So I'm going to throw this to RJ. What have you been playing?
Still working on The Division 2.
Yeah.
I'm on my fourth character doing the DLC for Warlords of New York, which I have to do because it's the most efficient way for me to get to level 40 and max out my level.
You are a grinding monster.
Yeah, well, certain things, yeah. Yeah. Or I just get so...
I say that, and then, you know, you heard me talk about Destiny all the time, so...
Or if I just get so focused on the title, I got to finish everything I want to finish, and then before I move on to something else,
right?
Really. So I'm trying to do the DLC for that one. Like I said, get my character, max out all four of my characters so I can vary it up, switch things up, and party up with some friends of mine and do
all the tasks
that we want to do. So we want to be at the best possible level that we can before doing so.
Yeah.
And even if I do get to level 40, it's not enough, because there's... a lot of optimization for gear that I have to do, and so I have to do some other things. Like, for instance, the summit. I don't want to say horde mode, but it's basically it's 100. I think it's 100 floors of a high rise, and you have to go up each floor till you get to the top and take out the enemies there. And on every 10th floor, you get some boss battle and get some exceptional gear.
So each floor has like regular enemies, yeah. And then the 10th floor, it's like boss.
10th floor, boss, yeah, 20. And then
that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had that. That's kind of neat.
Yeah, so you can keep going up and up and up and all that good stuff. Change the difficulty all you want. There's one way to spam getting high-grade stuff. If you put the difficulty up to maximum, I think it's called heroic difficulty. If you can get to level, you can get to floor 10 and... go back to the main floor, you can start at the last floor you're on, 10. That's a boss battle.
Mm-hmm.
So if you change the difficulty up to heroic, you're going to have a heroic level boss battle every time you go there. So there's a good chance you're going to drop some loot every time.
Okay.
The thing is, though, you have to take out the boss without taking out all the other enemies. So you can have, because if you take out all the enemies, the floor is cleared and you're going to go up to 11.
Okay.
So you can't start over at that floor again. So it's basically just safe to just take out the boss, immediately go back to the lobby, and then start on floor 10 again with the same difficulty. And if you can keep running that over and over again, not so much so that you get burned out, but to the point where you can consistently go there and get like maybe 5 to 10 runs or anything like that, and get what you get, and then go on and do something else. Because doing something like that repeatedly like that, you can't get burned out. And not want to play.
Oh, yeah.
So So I've been playing that. MLB The Show. Playing that, getting a little more work in with my franchise. Did some work on a Grand Theft Auto online. Apparently there's graffiti. You can graffiti some corporate signs and things like that for bonuses and whatever. But there's also, now we got pizza delivery to go with bail bonds, the bail bonds business. So
I'm surprised it's taken this long for them to put pizza delivery in there.
Well, I don't know how you would implement it. I mean, it's basically just going around, get your just another vehicle to buy, I guess.
Yeah.
Something along those lines.
But just as a job in the game is something.
Yeah, I mean, there's little idle jobs like taxi, things like
right.
that.
Right, yeah,
I remember
yeah, yeah.
Previous games like where Vigilante, just get a cop car and just go.
Mm-hmm. You could do that, I think, with ambulances or fire trucks
ambulance,
and stuff like
fire
that.
Fire trucks,
yeah.
Things like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So pizza delivery was thrown in there. So
that's what I'm saying. I'm surprised it took them this long to do pizza yeah. delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Like DoorDash or whatever, you know?
Yeah,
I guess. Just food delivery in general.
Yeah, food delivery with bullets, I guess, because
well,
there's
course.
Something else that's going to go on.
I mean, it's GTA,
that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Either from the game itself or from the other players online. So other than that, a little bit more of Virtua Fighter 5. Still playing the leagues there, trying to get... better improve on that.
Now, so, yeah. Before did you play anything else?
No, that's pretty much
okay.
It.
Yeah. I wanted to end on Virtua Fighter 5, but because before we go into what I played, which again, that's going to be a quick one. Did we have another Evo moment last weekend?
Which one?
Boy, I don't remember the name of the characters, but it's been spread around all over the place. Where dude had absolutely no health.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, if it wasn't the Mortal Kombat one where
it was
Fox
not
won.
Mortal Kombat. It was Street Fighter.
It was Street Fighter. Okay.
Yes. I think it was Street Fighter.
Well, if it was, I can see it happening because, like I said, the offense in that game is so it's so offense friendly.
Yeah.
No matter how much health you got back, you can always make a comeback.
Let me say, if I can find it here, are you going to, can you look at the screen behind you?
There? Yeah, I can see it.
Okay, yeah. I like that in all of his stuff that he uses here, there's an Evo video. Among all the politic videos that he's got here, then there's like, oh, King of Fighters, Evo. That's just wonderful. Evo moment. I wonder if it's 38.
I think that's, what is it?
That is 38.
It is 38?
Yes. Six days ago for this one. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let it play, but you can see that, right?
Yeah.
Hugh goes down to whatever he's got there.
Yeah, a little bit of health left.
Now he's got
little. Since his third strike, I'm guessing one parry was all he needed to get the win.
That's just unbelievable. Evo Moment 38 is what it's called.
Yeah.
So if you want to do that, Google it, check it out. Street Fighter 3, third strike, loser quarterfinals.
Mm-hmm.
So
you can see some real awesome matches in Third Strike where people can get real defensive and get that parrying system down and get the timing perfect because Evo 37 was Third Strike when Daigo parried
okay.
all of Justin Wong's super.
Okay,
the one that's been put in the home version of Third Strike. There was it says Evo Moment 37. Do exactly what Daigo did against this super, and you're like, oh goodness.
Yep.
And I've tried it before. It's not easy.
I know.
It is not easy.
Which is why it's so amazing that it was pulled off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it was interesting to see that we had another one come up at this one. Evo was great. Enjoyed it. It was a nice distraction during the show last week to have. And so, yeah, I loved it. I have not played much at all. I have switched over from playing Shadow of War.
Mm-hmm.
Middle Earth Shadow of War. I've completely stopped playing that. And I mean, you talk about the opposite end of the spectrum. Now I'm playing Spiritfarer, which is very, very chill. So much more so, and so much less mechanic heavy and everything else than what Shadow of War's. Spiritfarer, I played it on Game Pass. I was going to say years ago. I don't know how long ago it was, but I played it on Game Pass a long time ago. That was on console, so it's playing on the big TV, and I got to some certain point where you had to switch around. You had a bunch of cabins on your boat, and you were able to kind of maneuver them and put them, and certain people like to be in this position and this position as to where their homes and different fields. And I don't know. I said, no, I'm not feeling this. I don't feel like trying to figure out this puzzle of moving these things around and having them fit. It just wasn't working for me. But I think it was because I was missing a lot of the mechanics of the game itself. Because once I started on this on PC, things have gone a lot better for me. And I don't know if it's because I'm paying more attention or I'm just doing, I don't even know if I'm doing things differently. I'm not sure. But things seem to be moving way smoother than what they were.
I mean, because it's a puzzle-ish game, isn't it?
Not necessarily. The section that I stopped at on the console felt very puzzle-like.
Okay.
But it was only one part of the overall game. This game, you captain a boat that goes around and picks up souls and makes sure that they're ready to head into the afterlife to pass on. And they've got to tie up all their loose ends. Like, you know, seeing other people before they die, forgiving other people before they die, you know, all these sort of things that you have to take care of before it's done. And while I haven't gotten to that part of it just yet, while you're doing all this, you're going on these little islands, to these little islands on your map and picking up the souls or picking up things like wood and fruits and other kind of supplies, because you've got a kitchen on your boat. You've got homes for all these souls that you're holding on your boat. You can build a garden, and you can build all kinds of different things that sit on, kind of like a houseboat, that sit on this boat. And basically that's it. You're just going back and forth and dropping off souls, picking up souls, feeding them, because you have to feed the people on your boat. You have to you have to talk to them, make sure their mood is okay. And of course, it's very easy to tell like what it is that's, you know, that they need. You just go and talk to them, and you can look at a status of like, hey, they're hungry. And that means, okay, I'll feed them. You feed them, everything's fine. So there's a lot of different aspects. You can fish off the side of the boat while you're traveling from wherever. Anyway, it's nice. It's got a very hand-drawn animation style to it, which is really cool, very fluid. And I enjoy it very, very much. And it's nice. It's just a nice little... Other than that, I've been playing Snap. See if Lethal Migraine's been playing Snap. I'm not sure. They have a Deadpool event going on right now.
Not fitting.
Very fitting. Yeah. Exceptionally fitting. Mm-hmm. And it only lasts for... I got another week and 2 days to try and complete it.
Mm-hmm.
And I am at 991,000 right now. I want to get to 15 million to get a new card. And if I really want to push, I want to get to 500 million to get a variant of that card. If I really want to push for that. Once I get the card, and once I get to that point, it may be easier to do. I don't know. But yeah, so.
About a week and a half, right?
Yeah. And it's gambling essentially. you don't have to. I haven't spent any money to gamble on it. You have the option to, like right now I could spend 100 in-game currency to get 300,000 tokens, I guess. And that goes up. But gold, and then you have to go to your conversion to see how much gold costs, right? So let's see, gold. 300 gold is $5. Right. I'm not doing any of this. I'm not spending any money on this, but you absolutely can do it. Just hope you don't. You don't have to. But you go, what is going on? Oh, okay, sorry. I just had all these missions pop up as complete. That's because I was playing in the Deadpool event, and I just now exited out of the Deadpool event, and it counted all that stuff I was doing earlier. So, sorry, that kind of freaked me out for a minute. What else? Yeah. So that's going on, the Deadpool event thing. It's like I said, it's like gambling. So they have these tiers of, and I will show you I will try to show you. This would work a lot better on an iPad, but this iPad's so old, trying to get this game to load on that iPad would be tough. So they have different little entry points of the game. And you can, you know, you can play on the different entry points. So currently I have, it's so small I can't see it. So I, I actually have to do a screenshot and then have to zoom in to see what I'm looking at. Currently I have 400,000 tokens to play with. I don't know where that puts me on what level I can enter, but it's kind of like a, hey, if you got this many tokens, you can play at this rank, which means your risks and reward are greater, you know? So the more tokens you have, the higher you can play. Although when you're playing, you're risking losing a bunch of tokens and knocking yourself back down to play on the lower tiers. So there's a little bit of basically gambling going on. There has been before, but the problem with what you do in a regular game is you wager cubes, but you can't buy cubes. They're just cubes. You you go into a game and you just wager cubes. That's it. You go up and down a leaderboard. That's all. You don't have to buy stuff. With Deadpool, if I crash out and lose all my tokens, I can't play any of the tiers of Deadpool's little event until they regenerate. Now, in the beginning, that's a little tough. At this point where I'm at, they regenerate at 75,000 an hour, up to 600,000. So, you know, I'm okay. But for other people who are like, well, I got nothing and I want to spend some money to buy the tokens, and then I'm going to go, I buy my tokens and I go in and I lose them all again. Well, now I can't play. So there's a little bit of that, I don't know, kind of smarmy a little bit on the on the part of them, but I haven't fell victim to it.
Yeah, that's how they make the money, though, man. That's,
I know.
The whole loot box thing, all that type of
stuff. Yeah, I mean, really. It really seems to be.
It's a basic thing. Make grinding annoyingly difficult or tedious, so that you'll jump the gun, put a little money down, and get ahead of that.
So basically, I play a little bit through the day, and then at night before I go to bed, I'll play some, and to cap it all off, I'll go as high as I can, and I'll throw everything, you know, I'll all in the thing, you know what I'm saying? I'll go all in. If I win it, hey, that's great. If I lose it, well, I'm going to be sleeping for 8 hours or 6 hours. It's enough for that to regenerate up to, you know, whatever it is that I need. So
play
it's
kind of, there you go.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of nice to sort of just kind of jump in there. The card is, I don't know where you are for comic book characters. It's Cassandra Nova, I believe.
Okay.
Is the name. And that is Xavier's sister, I think. In the comic book form. Okay. Anyway, it has nothing to do with whatever her power is, but her card ability takes 1 point from every card in your opponent's deck. And you can start with up to 9 cards. So it's a quick and easy, you know, 10, 15. No. Because she has a power. She's not power zero. She has power at like 3 or 4. I don't know. I can't remember what her actual power is. But then you add on whatever it is, how many in a deck, and then you got whatever. So I'm just saying that's her card ability. And it'd be nice to have. So especially since after this week, she will end up in the rotation of cards that you can randomly spend stuff you collected on to get. And if I can do it this way, where I don't even have to spend anything to get it, then I'll do that rather than try and chance it out afterwards. So that's a horrible way to talk about Marvel Snap, because it's not really a great way to introduce anybody into the games. But for those of you who have been listening long enough, it probably just sounds like we're talking about everything else that we talk about, which is gobbledygook, just gibberish. I don't know what you're saying, but I like to hear you talk about it. Basically, is how it works out to be. And that's fine. That's what you're here for. I got you covered on that. Anyway, that's all I've been playing, though. Spiritfarer and Marvel Snap, with not a inkling to jump into anything else, really. I just haven't felt like popping into any other game at the moment. Mm-hmm. It's Spiritfarer is nice because I can kind of
turn your brain off,
play at my own pace.
Like we talked about last time, just something you just start playing and you don't have to just relax and let go and just do anything else.
Yeah. I know, yeah. It's not bad to kind of sit there and do that. I remember I still do have Spider-Man on my PS5 to play, and I really haven't started that yet.
Look, you and I both have the backlog in the triple digits of stuff that we need to
play. It is, and you know what? All I ever look for are new games to play.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but that's all I ever look for is like, ooh, new game. I kind of want to get that, because a couple of my games that I had on my wish list from month ago when E3 was going on, well, whatever E3, Summer Game Fest, whenever that was going on, a couple of those games that I had put in my wish list and played demos and stuff, they're finally getting released, mm-hmm. and it's like, ooh, neat. But it's not there yet. Like, some of them are like $17 even on sale, and I'm like, you know, I demoed you. I don't feel like you're $17. Mm-hmm. So maybe wait for you to come down on a sale or something like that. So
yeah, but then look, in some titles that sale will never come.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Marvel Rivals is going on. It's currently in closed beta, but you can stream it and watch it. People on Twitch are streaming that Marvel Rivals. It is for those who are curious, that is what's the Overwatch clone, but with Marvel characters basically. Mm. You know, team based. Yeah. PvP,
yeah,
but with the Marvel people, characters. I don't know if it's good. I don't know if it's great. I have no idea. I really haven't been following along to that. Mm-hmm. I haven't been following much of gaming stuff going on as it is. Kind of seems like we're in a lowness as far as like big news and stuff. Mm-hmm. Evo, of course. Comic-Con's going on this weekend. San Diego Comic-Con's happening this weekend.
Okay.
As far as you're going to get any game news out of that, I have no idea.
I was looking for announcements or anything like that that would take place there, but
yeah.
Haven't heard anything.
You might get a couple of game announcements when it comes to, I don't want to say movie titles, but like, you know, maybe a new Alien game or something, because I know they're pitching the Alien film and stuff like that. So just different things, but I don't think we'll get too much game news out of Comic-Con. Get a whole lot of movie and TV news, though.
Yeah. Yeah,
We got an update on BioShock from Netflix, where they're toning down the budget on that. What else did we get an update on? Probably got an update on a couple of other game-related media things, like Amazon Prime has an animated show based on one of the League of Legends things, and I can't remember what it's called. But they have, and so they're getting a new season of that. They were talking about.
But not Arcane, is it?
It's not Arcane, because that's Netflix.
Okay.
That is in the same universe as, you know, what I'm talking about, League of Legends.
I'm not familiar with the League of Legends at all.
I'm not either, but Arcane is fantastic.
Hmm.
Arcane, that series on Netflix, was wonderful.
Hmm.
And I'm okay, or I'm sad, but I'm okay that they're just going to be two seasons. The next season comes out in November, and then they're gonna be done with it. I hate that, because I would love to see it go longer, but I'm also like, well, you're going to wrap up the story, go ahead, wrap it up, you know? It's going to be that good, go ahead. I mean, things just can't happen forever, sadly.
Does Arcane look expensive to you?
The series or the series?
Yeah.
Yes.
There you go. there you go. That's the reason why then.
I don't know.
If you can condense, like I said, if you can condense a story and get to the end of it and finish it off,
mm-hmm.
do that.
Yeah.
Have at it. Better finish it off than have it end like halfway through in the middle of a season or something like that, which has happened before sometimes.
Hmm. But yeah, so as far as I'm concerned, not much that I've been doing as far as what gaming is concerned. I have watched a lot of videos on gaming, basically just some reveals. I saw the date reveal for, I think it was called Black Faith. Looked very Souls-like, whatever it is.
What, the Wukong?
No. It's a different, there's that.
Mm-hmm.
But then there was something called Black Faith Forsaken, I think is what it's called.
Stop ringing any bells.
No, it wasn't for me, and it was a date announcement, and the trailer showed absolutely no gameplay, but it had very, very Souls-esque look to it.
Yeah, typical.
Mm-hmm.
Trailer, no.
Well, I'm sure there was. This was, like I said, it was just a date announcement. So I was like, well, okay, if this is the date announcement, maybe there is some, because it's coming out next month. I'm like, okay, maybe there's a trailer out there with gameplay. Yeah. Maybe I have seen this and I don't remember.
Mm-hmm.
Very likely in my regard. So
if it did, it didn't have much impact on you when it did come out.
Well, that would be the thing. If they did show gameplay and it was Souls-like, my mind's like, all right, yeah. I'm not playing that.
It's not
it good. Looks great, but I ain't playing it.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't remember. I would like to try and remember, but I don't remember. No problem with memory. And I watched a lot of video for... God, is it No... Nobody Wants to Die? Is that what it's called? Nobody or No One Wants to Die? Nobody Wants to Die. It's a very cyber noir setting of a game. And I thought it was going to be robust. In other words, a big game. Like, you're going to be this, it's going to be this open world thing of, I wasn't sure, but I figured it was going to be a full-fledged game. Mm-hmm. No, it's, I think, $20, maybe. It's on Steam, looks great, and it's not very long.
25.
Yeah.
With a soundtrack bundle, 30.
Yeah. It's, apparently it's reviewing pretty well.
Yeah, so it's very positive.
Yeah.
Let's see, lose yourself in the world of New York 2329, where immortality comes at a price that someone has to pay. Following a near-death experience, Detective James Carr takes an off-the-books case from his chief with only the help of a young police liaison, Sarah Kai, to assist him. Time reveals all as they risk everything in pursuit of a killer, uncovering the dark secrets of the city's elite. Yeah. Sounds like a film noir detective type.
Oh, it absolutely is. And I think it actually, I think it really, you know, throws the cliches of those things into its opening. You can watch like the first 10 or 15 minutes on YouTube if you wanted to. But as far as I know, it's not a very long game. It is not a very, it's more puzzle solutions than it is kind of action-y or anything like that. Like, I don't know that you even get a weapon, you know? I don't think you have fights. I think you are trying to solve crimes.
Yeah, but I look at this and I'm thinking cyberpunk already.
I know, some right? Exactly.
Some type of action adventure interface, things of that nature.
Yeah.
Especially so, if it's a dark, gritty film noir type thing.
Yeah.
I'm expecting some type of conflict in here somewhere.
There, as far as I know, there's very little, if any, at all. I haven't played it. I just, when you look at the descriptions of it on Steam, I want to say Walking Simulator was in there, which that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it does give you an idea. If a game is labeled as a walking simulator, it is more of a kind of non-action, no combat. You know, you just figure things out as you walk through. What was Gone Home was one like that, where there was no combat. You just had to walk around the house and relive memories and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a detective, and if you're a cop as a detective in a dystopian future, walking simulator does not fit in that description to me at all.
Yeah, I know. But yeah. Let's see. Thar 6 says it is Souls-like. I'm guessing he's talking about that Black Faith Forsaken or whatever it was, that it's a Souls-like. So, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, what do we have? We should break. So let's do that. Let's go to a commercial. We have music here. We're going back to the olden games. This one comes from a game called The Legend of Xanadu. Frozen Tower is the name of this track. Anyway, we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back in to In-Game Chat. This comes from a game called... I have fond memories of it anyway. Rise of the Triad. Track is called Going Down the Fast Way. Only thing I remember about that game was... I remember when I was playing it, it was kind of a... next level Doom type thing. Like it was a first person shooter or one of those Doom, you know, Wolf 3D type games way back when. And there were all kinds of power ups in the game for your weapons, for your, you know, armor and for things like that. And there was something called speed boots, you know, and you could move real fast. It was really cool because I would sit at one end of this long hallway and I would do my rocket launcher. And then I would run and just kind of run alongside the missile, the rocket as it was moving through the hallway. It was just insane that I could just catch up to it and look at it as it's flying around. It's really cool.
Just don't be there when it blows up.
No. It was just something that I was trying to see if I could do is like beat the shot, right? And the boots would let you do that.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Steam page for it, the Ludicrous Edition.
Is this for Rise of the Triad?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They did a remake of it. Mm-hmm. They've done a couple of different things with it before. Was that Apogee? I think it was Apogee.
Let's see.
Way back when, I
think it was Apogee. Apogee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it still Apogee?
Well, it says Night Dive Studios, Apogee Software.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
God.
This Ludicrous Edition was released July of 2023.
Man, Apogee was massive back in the day. Commander Keen, wasn't that Apogee?
Commander Keen?
Yeah.
Not that one.
I think that was Apogee. I don't know why I remember these things. Logos and things stick. Well, you know, we were just talking about Phalanx through the during the break.
Yeah, yeah. And the reason why it's still being brought up. Because because the box art.
I don't think Apogee has anything on Phalanx's box art at all. But for whatever reason, that stuff sort of just sticks in my head from my younger days.
Yeah. Commander Keen says ID Software.
That was id? I thought it was Apogee who had that. Oh, well. But I do remember playing a lot of that, too.
Yeah.
I wonder if I have that on my...
You probably do.
Knowing me, I probably do. Mm. So, any cool announcements out of Evo last week that you paid attention to?
I saw some character reveals, things like that, and things I wasn't really too
didn't really
into.
Care about.
Yeah, I mean, nothing that really made me perk up or anything like that.
Yeah, Tekken 8 getting a new guy. Well, Street Fighter 6 getting Terry.
Yeah.
Guilty Gear getting Edge Runners from Cyberpunk, I guess, or something like that. I don't know.
But Lucy?
Maybe. I think. I'm not sure. I'm kind of just rolling through these because I don't know anything about them. Grand Blue Fantasy is, what are they adding? Versusia? And Valkala?
I'm not familiar with that series, and I never really got into Grand Blue. I know it's got a following, but I just wasn't part of it.
King of Fighters 15. You part of that? Okay. Well, then yeah, never mind.
I'm still like watching it, watching people play it, especially at Evo. I did watch the tournament for that. That was a
Fatal Fury City of the Wolves.
Yeah, yeah.
Kevin Ryan to the roster.
Yeah, saw that one. Yeah, I remember him from the original Mark of the Wolves. So yeah, they seem to have changed him up a little bit, but. It's okay.
Yuzuki for Undernight Inbirth 2. I don't know. These are fighting games that I don't know anything
about. Undernight Inbirth 2. Yeah. Undernight Inbirth, yeah.
I don't know any of these.
The Melty Blood folks.
Yeah. I'm just so like, man, this is your world.
Yeah.
I'm just living in it. What else did we get? Oh, you know, we're talking about Comic-Con.
Yeah.
We did get some Mortal Kombat news.
Mm-hmm.
For new DLC. I don't remember what it's called, but you're getting, it looks like some of the android ninjas.
Okay. Cyber ninjas?
Hang on, let me see what they're called.
Oh, so it's Cyber Lin Kuei.
MK1. Comic-Con. What do we get? Let's see. They tease year two reveals. What did we have? This teases Mortal Kombat 1 fans expecting this. Well, okay. Year two for Mortal Kombat. They will get, it says it's going to continue the story. You get future fighters and big surprises. Oh, wait. And then he says, we can't wait to show you at Comic-Con. No, no, no. Show, don't tease. Tell me. Chaos Reigns DLC. That's what it's called. Everything I say that would have a C is all with a K. So we're getting Noob Saibot.
Okay.
Sektor and Cyrax.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're getting the ghost face from Scream. Conan the Barbarian. And a very actor-looking Robert Patrick T-1000 from Terminator 2.
Mm-hmm.
Being added to
the
roster.
So some classic characters and celebrity guest appearances from other franchises.
Yeah, they released a new trailer for it. And it'll include, Chaos Reigns will include new story chapters and the second combat pack. Pre-ordering the DLC will also net you 4 new costumes as well. It was also announced that Animalities will be returning to the game as part of a free update available to all players, whether you purchase Chaos Reigns or not. So yeah, when is that coming out? Doesn't say here. Wait, I'm sorry. This says that we have confirmation that it will launch on September 24th on Nintendo Switch. So it might come out before then, but by September 24th, everybody will have it on all the different platforms. It doesn't tell me anything else. So yeah. What else do we get from there? Marvel vs. Capcom producer says the development team has big dreams for a crossover series for Marvel vs. Capcom. Were you big into that?
Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Yeah, I mean, we were
just two. Like, was 3 bad? Or?
Three was like really heavily offense based, and I didn't like it as much as I did 2. 2 was Marvel vs. Capcom 2 to me was the sweet spot of that series.
How do you feel about Street Fighter? Where was the sweet spot of Street Fighter? Or does it have one?
I like the Alpha series. Did like that one. Third Strike. I did like Third Strike. I had to get used to that.
Is there I don't follow obviously the fighting game community, so I don't know. But yeah. Is there a consensus among the fighting game community? Is like this Street Fighter is really the one that's you know. Yes, there's nothing wrong with the others, but this one was like peak.
I want to say Third Strike was the one that people really liked playing. Okay. Everyone's got complaints about 4 and 5 and 6 and all the other things, but Third Strike, I think, is the one a lot of people enjoy.
Yeah, I was always curious.
Because
again, I don't follow that, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. There's people who will tell you, no, this version of Smash Brothers, not the one that's got everything in it, you know, and the kitchen sink, but the ones that are, you know, that was on the Wii or the GameCube was better.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one that everybody prefers to play or something like that. I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I just like watching good competition, and that's what I got out of my Evo there. Mm-hmm. So. Evo was going on last weekend, but so was, the Warframe convention that was going on? Tennocon?
Tennocon,
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, what was the news we got from that?
I should have mentioned something about 1999 and a boy band or something.
There was that. I haven't gotten to that one yet. You know, I'm kind of waiting for AC Wraith to jump in. He could fill me in on that. Mm-hmm. But Digital Extremes, who is the developer for Warframe, they gave another peek at their upcoming fantasy action MMORPG called Soulframe. And I have no idea what it looks like or how it plays or if it's something that, you know, Is it something that Warframe people are interested in? I have no idea. I'm not a Warframe player, so I don't know. There's AC Wraith. I mentioned last episode that Infested our boy. Oh, that you did mention that. Yeah, I remember you talking about that, but I didn't really. You saying that, AC Wraith, in the chat room still does not explain to me anything of what's going on. I don't know what Infested Liches is. I guess that they are the boy band. I don't know. I have no idea. But how do you feel about it, AC Wraith? Do you like it? Are you interested in Soul Frame? And are you interested in Warframe 1999? And does any of that, or do you care about any of that? You know? Are you interested in Warframe 1999, but you don't care about the boy band stuff or whatever? I don't know. I'm curious because I don't play any of that, but I know you're very interested into it. So I'm just wondering how you feel about it. That's all. That's what I'm trying to figure out on this. What else do we have? These are just some quick hits that I'm getting to. Not that we have any kind of a big story to go over, because there's really not anything to go over. There is that situation with Humble Bundle, which is after they were sold. I say Humble Bundle. It's actually Humble Games. Mm-hmm. Now, Humble Bundle is part of Humble Games, but the entire Humble Games devs were told that the company is shutting down. They say it's restructuring, but effective staff disputes that company statement. An anonymous staff member impacted by the layoffs told GameIndustry.biz that the statement is patently incorrect, emphasizing that all of Humble Games staff were laid off this week. Operations are said to be moving to a third-party consultancy, which will handle all remaining games. In a transcript of a meeting with the president of Ziff Davis's shopping and technology division, it was suggested effective staff may be offered opportunities elsewhere within Ziff Davis or at the Powell Group, which is the consultancy third party that we're talking about. Former Humble Games employees telling the Aftermath website that the restructuring claim is to save face, but that it's a lie. The site also cites Chris Radley, a former Humble Games employee who left in 2022, who posted on LinkedIn that this is not a restructuring of operations, but a total shutdown of Humble Games with no internal staff remaining. That was the update because there were Humble Games reached out and said, no, we're not. We're just restructuring. We're not shutting down. But then everybody else came and said, no, like they let everybody go.
Basically said, y'all are full of it.
Yeah. They let everybody go. And yeah, Lethal Migraine says everything IGN touches turns to crap. Yeah. Cause IGN bought this. They bought Humble Games. Now the Humble Bundle stuff is not affected. Which, I don't know. It doesn't, I'm glad that I have it. It's nice to have. I get 12 free games. Well, I say 12 free, you know. I get 12 games a month from that. And it's nice that it kind of goes to, well, it goes to Humble Bundle. That's the Humble Choice stuff. But that is also not being affected because it's not their games. They're not making games. They're still selling games, but they're not making games. Yeah. I didn't figure that would really take a hit in this. Meanwhile, on the other end of the spectrum, Netflix has 80 games in development right now. They plan to launch a new game every month to its Netflix Stories hub. Now, if you have Netflix, a subscription to Netflix, you need to log in on... Definitely on your mobile. I know either your phone or your tablet. And you can see those games. Looking at my Apple TV or whatever, my TV box thing, games don't show up there.
Right.
So.
Which is the only place I'd look at Netflix is on my television, so.
The president of Netflix said, we've launched over 100 games so far. We've seen what works, what doesn't. We're refining our program to do more of what is working with the 80-plus games that we currently have in development. So, Yeah. Let's just see. Let's see. The Netflix app has a catalog of awesome third-party titles that are available free to subscribers and include some of the best mobile games currently available. Examples include The Curse or The Case of the Golden Idol, Crispy Street, I don't know what that is, Spiritfarer. I know there's a game that I played on the Nintendo Switch. Dang, I can't remember.
Was it Puzzler?
No, not really. It was more of Cozy Grove. That's what it's called.
Okay.
It's called Cozy Grove. And they did an update for the Netflix app of that, which was a really cool update. When I saw the trailer for the update and they were talking about all these different improvements, I was like, hey, that's fantastic. And they said exclusively to Netflix. And I said, well, that sucks. I have the game on Nintendo Switch, but, you know, that sucks. That actually sucks. But yeah, you're exactly right. Lethal Migraine says, so Netflix is now the new Embracer, but with money. Seemingly so. It's just, sure. I don't necessarily, you can have 80 games in development, but if they're all crap, it doesn't do anything for you.
Yeah.
Like they didn't have, like Spiritfarer is not a Netflix game. That is, some other development company who did that. Yeah. Case of the Golden Idol is not a Netflix game. They just have it as part of their thing.
Yeah.
So
your article, you mentioned mobile games. And I'm like, that's where I checked out. So you said mobile games.
Yeah, that's the other part of it. I really wish that if I loaded up the Netflix storefront on my browser, on my PC, that I could then download these games and play them on my PC and not through a tablet or a touchpad or a phone.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I would like to play them. But I don't seem to have that option that I know of. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I also don't have a subscription to Netflix, and I haven't. It'll be a year next month that I haven't had a subscription to Netflix.
I just like something that's going to make you get a subscription to it.
So far, nothing.
Yeah.
So far, nothing has changed my mind to get a subscription to Netflix.
Now, see, I do have a subscription to Netflix, but I have, like I said, I watch it on my television, not on my.
Yeah,
portable device.
Well, the interesting thing, if you do have a portable device, then you have those games available to you if you want to. I remember there were a couple that were kind of cool. I can't remember what the big one was when I had my subscription, but there was like, ooh, this is available, and you can play it for free on Netflix. And I was like, okay, that's cool. But there are some much smaller games that are really built for touchpad things and things like that, you know, puzzles and stuff. And that's kind of nice as a little distraction every now and again, you know, nothing that's really going to keep you engaged for a long amount of time.
Yeah.
Just something to kind of kill time with, which is what it's there for. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll jump into more news here. We have music from the Sega CD. Did you have a Sega CD?
Years after it was discontinued, I just found it on eBay somewhere and just for the heck of it picked
just
it up.
Just to have it.
Yeah. And I think I got a Sonic CD. Yeah. Played that. And I want to say I got Final Fight on there as well. Yeah.
All right.
I think I got those two titles on there.
Well, this comes from the Terminator game that was on Sega CD. It's called Taking to the Air is the name of the track. It does not sound anything like you would think music from a Terminator game, film, or anything else would sound like, but
jovial.
Anyway, a little bit, not as foreboding, you know, sort of end of the world in, you know, Judgment Day-ish type of thing. Nothing sort of near that. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. We'll be right back. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music from the Amiga system. Was that right? Amiga?
Amiga, yeah.
Yeah. Who was that? Was that Sega? Was that Atari? Was that...
I was under some other company.
Or was it just Amiga, its own thing?
Amiga's its own thing. Just another company that got into the...
Could have been.
Got to the video game.
Is it called Turrican? Turrican 2?
Turrican.
Turrican 2.
Yeah.
That is what that is from. That music. Like I said, we go back a ways.
Yeah, the music said 80s already, so yeah.
Yeah, well, you heard that Terminator soundtrack that we played going out, man. Like, yeah, 80s rock, yeah. Actually, that would have been early 90s rock, I guess. I don't exactly know when Sega CD came out. Mid to early?
Probably, yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
So
91, 92. Yeah.
For the Sega CD?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
December of 91 in Japan, October of 92
here in the States,
in North America, April of 93 in Europe.
Yeah, see, my gaming history is, and I've talked about it before, but Nintendo in the 80s, I'd grab some games here and there. I mean, my collection was big, but that was only for the fact that the console span was a pretty long chunk of time back then.
Yeah.
You know, you had a system for a good while and they just kept making games for it and you just kind of built up that collection. There was no sort of used game sales. There was the bulletin board here in town that you would put in like, hey, I got a lot of games, you know, here's my games, give me a call, we'll see if we can make a deal or something. I mean, that's how it worked.
Yeah, before eBay.
Yeah.
You had the bulletin board.
So you really had to put an effort in if you wanted to get rid of your games.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times,
garage sales here and there.
Yeah. Stuff like that. Not only did I not want to get rid of them, I just didn't want to go through the process of trying to get rid of them. So. Mm-hmm. Kept him around, but so it was Nintendo for a while, and I bought a Super Nintendo, but that's when things started to decline for me. I bought a Super Nintendo, and I just didn't, the games were few and far between. I mean, I had the amount between how many NES games and how many Super NES games I had was a massive difference.
Mm-hmm.
So many NES games, and then Super NES, I think I maybe walked away with just under 10 games for that system.
Mm-hmm.
Like Mortal Kombat 2,
mm-hmm.
Or Mortal Kombat 1 probably, and then 2 when it released. NBA Jam, basically I was buying all. Super Mario World was obviously one that I had in there, but I start to forget exactly what else was left. Uniracers was another one that I really enjoyed, but I don't know that I actually owned it. Mario Paint.
Mm-hmm.
I had that. And I really can't tell you any other games that I had for my Super NES that I can remember. And then it stopped. I didn't play games after that. I never got an N64. I never got a PlayStation. What else? I didn't get a Saturn when it released. There was a brief moment there where I bought a Super Nintendo, sold it to get a Sega Genesis, and then sold that to get a Super Nintendo back. Because Sonic looked really cool. Or maybe that was before Sonic. I can't remember. Anyway, regardless, I didn't have it very long.
Mm-hmm.
But that was around the era where I basically stopped. I don't know what was going on to fill my time there and what I was doing, but I just was not playing games. And I think it didn't really... didn't really come back in until I started looking into... I moved away from doing the console stuff, and I was looking at games like Seventh Guest, which was on PC at the time. Myst. I sort of diverted my attention to PCs. I wasn't building PCs at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Dad was buying... he wasn't building PCs either.
Yeah.
At the time, I don't even know. Obviously, you could build them, but these were, you know, Pentium 2s and things like that. They were, you know, dinosaurs as far as they're concerned.
Yeah.
But I was playing Wolf 3D, like I said, and Doom, Myst, and Seventh Guest and things like that on my dad's computer.
Mm-hmm. Is that what your puzzling bug mentioned?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably, because Seventh Guest was very much a puzzler thing. And then especially when Myst came about, that obviously did something to me.
Yeah.
Because Myst was a big deal. And the remaster of Riven is getting fantastic reviews. The thing looks amazing. I'll eventually pick it up.
Yeah, Myst is always one of them games I've always heard of, just never
played. Well, you've heard of it because of the legacy that it had, because at the time it was it sold so many. It was such a bestseller of a game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the CD-ROM era and that sort of thing. So it was just it was a massive success. And nobody had really ever seen anything like it at that sort of level that they were doing that type of gaming with. And I would imagine that that's probably where the puzzle aspect set in for me, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Heck of an influence, though.
I was going to say, to make that where you get that whole puzzle aspect sort of, set into your mind for that particular game that has no hand holding whatsoever.
Yeah.
That game plopped you down into the island, the Myst Island, and that was it.
Go have fun.
They did not talk to you. They didn't tell you what anything was. You were flipping switches and you didn't know what they did. You'd be like, what does this do? Click, click, nothing happens. You know, what does this do? Click, click, nothing happens. What does this do? That was it. You didn't know. You didn't know what you were doing. You had to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But there was also the aspect there, okay, well, there's no combat. You're not going to make the wrong choice, in a sense. This doesn't work, and maybe you'll come back to it later and it will. Or maybe you'll figure out what it's doing. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with that is that you start off like that at the very beginning where things are able to be interacted with, but you don't notice anything of a change when you do. And that happens, especially at the early part of the game, that happens at almost everything that you're doing until eventually you get to something where you do make an interaction and something does happen right in front of you. Like, okay, this is progress.
Yeah.
And you keep moving on and sort of start to learn.
Yeah. The satisfaction of the incremental progress you make across the island. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, and that really set in with me. Not that I wanted that. I'm not necessarily a fan of games that kind of plop you in and don't tell you anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm especially not a fan of it when it's a demo. Now, you know what you're getting if you're going to play the Riven demo, because it's the sequel, the Riven remaster that they did and the demo for that. I mean, it's a sequel to Myst. You know what you're getting into. But there are some demos that I played, not puzzle-oriented, not anything-oriented, but they just plop you in and they don't give you any kind of a tutorial about what you're doing. They give you no context for what you're doing. And that's a bad demo. Like, you need to put some context around what I am doing here. Regardless of how either simple or complicated it might be to do such a thing, it still needs to be there for the player to understand what they're getting into. If you've released it as a demo. If you don't and you release the game full and it has no handholding in there, well, okay, that's fine. That's a choice. That is a developer choice of this is how it's going to be. But when you do it in a demo, don't.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least, I don't know, don't.
Let us know what we're getting into with your demo.
Especially with a demo when I'm deciding if I'm going to buy this game or not.
Exactly, yeah.
I need to know. Well, I'm missing some of the chat room here. Yeah, voice actors are going on strike. I think I have that in. Yep. This came out pretty recently. What? I just clicked on it. It didn't open. Video game voice actors are going on strike for the first time since 2017 after months of negotiations with Activision, Epic Games, and other big publishers and studios over higher pay, better safety measures, and protections from new generative AI technologies.
I was just about to mention that as soon as you mentioned voice actors going on strike.
AI is basically the reason.
Yeah.
Yes, there are other issues, but AI is basically the reason here. They are hitting a picket line a year after the Hollywood actors and writers wrapped up their own historic strikes in an escalation that could have big consequences for the development and marketing of some of the biggest games. Members of the Screen Actors Guild, American Federation of Television and Radio Arts, SAG-AFTRA, voted last fall to authorize a strike, citing an unwillingness of big game companies to budge on guaranteeing performers rights over how their work is used in training or creating AI-generated copies. Roughly 2,600 voice actors and motion capture artists, including people like Troy Baker, Jennifer Hale, Matt Mercer. They've all been working without an interactive media agreement since November. This strike started yesterday at midnight. So let's see. The video, this is a chief negotiator talking. The video game industry generates billions of dollars in profit annually. The driving force behind that success is the creative people who design and create those games. That includes the SAG-AFTRA members who bring memorable and beloved game characters to life. I'm getting into some spin here. Frankly, it's telling that these video game studios haven't learned anything from the lessons of last year, that our members can and will stand up and demand fair and equitable treatment with respect to AI. And the public supports us in that. I absolutely support them in that. Then again, you're listening to my voice right now. And so I absolutely support that. I have messed around with AI. It is amazing what it can do.
Yeah.
It is amazing in the fact that technology is there for it to do what it can do. And it is amazing at how scary a future will be. Because it's only going to get better at doing what it already does. And mimicking your voice or any voice you hear.
And you can already see how it can be easily used for entertainment and how it can be misused for something else.
And we're in an election season?
Yeah.
Woohoo! Man!
And given how susceptible folks are to stuff they read on the internet. Yeah.
Thar 6 says it might delay GTA 6, I guess. I'm not sure. I doubt it. But then again, I don't know. I have no idea if the thing about voice acting is usually especially with GTA 6, you've already story scripted everything. You know? I would say at this point, your story is written and complete. You're not still editing story. I mean, the game is done. The game's not done, but everything that would require your voice actors, your writers, that's all been taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I could be completely wrong on this.
Your plot should be ready by now.
Right. Everything. Yeah. I feel like everything's done, because then you got to go in with your animators and everything else. And they've got to put all that stuff on top of it to make it play right and look right and everything else. But I think your voice actors are probably already done. I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't know where GTA 6 is in development.
What exactly the order is for in terms of implementing a AAA game like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I visited the set of the mocap set for Uncharted 3 way back when.
Yeah.
But boy, I wish I could remember what year that was that I did that, and then what year the game released. So I could give you an idea. I'd have to go back into my photos to give you an idea of when that was. Actually, you know what? I can probably do that. No problem.
Let's see. Uncharted 3 was released November of 2011.
Okay. Well, hang on a second. Let me look in here. Because I'm going into... There's San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't in San Diego, though, was I? Where was I? What is that? Is that it? What year did you say?
2011. That's when it was released. Uncharted 3.
November of 2011?
Yeah.
Well, I'm completely wrong then. Because the photos I have from that mocap session was June of 2011. Never mind. Everything I just said prior to thinking everything's wrapped up and ready to go... out the window. Sorry. I know. You're looking at... You have the same... Yes, I know.
Let me think again.
I know.
Because did Uncharted use the actors as the body type for the characters on screen, right?
I mean, yeah, I've got pictures here of Nolan North, Graham McTavish, and Claudia Black.
Okay, and they did the mocap work.
Graham was Cutter, Claudia Black was Chloe.
Okay,
and you know Nolan was Nathan.
So their voice and their actions,
their voices and their mocap was all being done.
Emotions was all being done at the same time. So what about those instances where you're just a voice actor, you're not doing mocap, you're just a voice?
That may be
a different aspect.
Yeah.
A difference between the mocap actor doing the voice and the body work, as opposed to someone else doing the body work or animation for it, and someone separately doing the voice in another studio somewhere. Maybe.
Possibly.
Maybe that's the case. I'm not sure.
I don't know. So Thar, you may be onto something with a delay there, if that's the case. And they may delay it anyway. Even if they do have everything done, if anybody who was on that team is now on strike, they may delay it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because there may be some kind of contractual agreement where, look, we can't release this game if they're on strike.
Yeah. Now, something like this...
I don't know.
Yeah. Now, something like this, I was thinking, wouldn't really affect games that aren't like those AAA titles anyway, because, you know, some... like an independent game, not going to affect them really much at all, or something that doesn't require...
Possibly, no.
Yeah. Not like, really going to affect them, really.
You know, you look at some of the indie games, Spiritfarer has no voices in it.
Yeah,
there's no voice acting.
Yeah, so a game like that, you know, it's not going to affect them at all.
It's got some noises and some sounds, like when the characters on the boat want to get your attention, or you walk up to them or something like that, or they're eating their food, you'll hear, you know, you pet the cat, it purrs.
Yeah.
There's no vocals.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the game, for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And so, sure, yeah, your indies are going to get away with that,
so
if that's
humming,
the case.
So they're going to keep humming right along despite this strike.
I wouldn't
effect.
See any
so, yeah,
problem with that at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
But your bigger games, like your GTA 6, like you mentioned. Now, GTA 6 isn't coming out until next year anyway. There's plenty of time.
Yeah, there's time.
For them to do that. But given what we just saw here,
yeah,
I don't know if GTA does mocap. I feel like they do, because I want to say I've seen pictures of the three guys from
I'm trying to think of GTA. I was thinking GTA 5.
Or 5, I mean,
yeah,
5.
I don't know if they did motion cap with that one. I think it was just a voice in a sound studio or something like that.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
but have they advanced it to where they do mocap now for that?
Yeah, for 6, yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. 5 and 6 is a completely different beast, so yeah, maybe something else.
Do we know if they did that for Red Dead 2?
I don't know what they did for Red Dead 2.
Yeah. Something to look into. Just kind of curious about that. Now, that's just focusing on GTA 6. That's not even going over... I don't know. What other? I'm trying to think of other like big titles that are coming out or something like that. Why is my brain just like nothing there? Assassin's Creed Shadows. I don't know if they use mocap or not, but do you think that game's finished? Well, we don't know. They haven't said it's gone gold. And usually when it's gold, that means it's going to the production to, you know, burn out the discs.
Yeah, press the discs or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, and so I haven't heard anything about them going gold. I don't know what kind of effect this may have on our game releases coming up in the future. I'm kind of curious now.
Yeah.
Maybe I should read the rest of this article. while games set to come out this fall, like Dragon Age: The Veilguard, whose recently revealed voice cast includes several guild members... they likely have already had their voices and mocap work completed. The strike means SAG-AFTRA members would be unavailable for projects that are starting production soon or years out.
Mm.
Games relied much less on actor performances in the past, but most popular franchises are now fully voice acted, with the biggest budget productions using mocap to transfer actors' real-life performances frame by frame into the game. Hellblade would have had issues with this, I would have imagined. Because old girl was completely covered in her mocap, you know.
Yeah, with all the facial expressions.
Sensors and everything out for the facial stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I still remember, I only saw like maybe once, maybe twice, but yeah, the first thing you saw was the extreme close-up of her face as she was like yelling out orders to to her.
Showing off that Unreal 5 and everything that they were doing with that. Yeah, it's amazing. Exactly which games will be impacted remains to be seen. The language in the IMA is clear that video games that were already in production prior to August of 2023, including live service games, are not subject to the strike and remain covered by the ongoing terms of the 2020-2022 IMA. The Guild gives a different threshold of September 2022 for most games, adding that live service games like Fortnite and Apex Legends could be struck starting 60 days from now if things get to that point. I forgot about live service, which has to constantly, Destiny has to constantly get their voice actors to come in and redo stuff. Yeah,
big,
okay.
Big money titles, so yeah.
Oh, I feel like Destiny's probably on kind of autopilot right now. That is a game I really have not followed along with at all. What was I watching the other day? Oh, there was a new show on HBO Max. It's animated based off of the, it's a spinoff from the Harley Quinn animated series.
Oh, yeah, Kite Man.
Kite Man.
Can't say the full name because it's FCC rated.
Yeah, right, exactly. But yeah. Have you watched it?
I saw the trailers for it.
Yeah.
I like the fact that Keith David was doing the voice of Darkseid.
Yes.
In that thing.
But when Lex Luthor popped in, I was like, it's Zavala.
Okay. Lance Reddick.
Lance, yes. Yeah. Which may be one of his final voice acting roles, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really nice to hear his voice.
Yeah.
Just, I was surprised because I didn't know he was in it. And as soon as I heard it, man, you talk about like hitting me in the brain of like, oh, Zavala.
Yeah.
Oh, that's one of the Vanguard talking to me through a Lex Luthor skin.
Yeah.
Saying some really bad words. Yeah, that cartoon's not for kids, but it's great, by the way.
You can tell some of the folks in there had a good time voicing that one.
I mean, yeah, you're just enjoy it, have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to look over some more of this. Oh, SAG-AFTRA video game voice actors are set to hold a panel at San Diego Comic-Con coming up. It'll feature Ashley Birch from Horizon Forbidden West, Nasheer Dalla from Red Dead Redemption 2, and others will be there as well. By the way, I saw the final trailer for Borderlands, the film.
Oh, Beckinsale, Curtis, and Hart?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. Okay.
Yeah. It was nice to see some more characters being shown, like in some quick clips.
Yeah.
Of some of the characters that are in there that you recognize for the game. Mm-hmm. But man, they are trying their hardest to be like, make it as much Guardians of the Galaxy trailer as you can make it. Like it seems like they're really pushing for that vibe.
You make it sound like they're trying to be something they're not.
That's what it feels like. But I don't know, because I haven't seen the movie. It's a trailer.
Yeah.
So they're trying to shape the trailer into that, which will end up putting people in seats and getting something that they're not expecting. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They're expecting that because that's how you framed your trailers for that. And then you go in and watch it. It's like, there's nothing like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been bamboozled, which is probably what's going to happen. I guess. I don't know. I hope for good things. I don't want it to be bad.
Mm-hmm.
I would love for it to be good. I want more of our video game branches that, mm-hmm. that are in other media to do well. And it's on a better track than what it used to be.
Yeah.
What with Fallout. Last of Us.
Mm-hmm. Fallout and Last of Us are
and I'm probably leaving well, behind yeah. a couple of things, but like I know Halo had two seasons, but not bad. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it had two seasons worth, which mm-hmm. is something. Yeah. And there's probably a couple of other game related media that I'm leaving out. Arcane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being one of those things, some of those aspects.
So
well.
Yeah, and like about making it appeal to people who have absolutely no idea about the source material it comes from.
Mm-hmm.
If you can appeal to everybody like that, you've done a pretty good job.
Yeah, I think so as well. Lethal Migrant says, what about a game like Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, where they are speaking, but it's gibberish? Or The Sims? I think in that regard, it depends. Gibberish probably doesn't require them to hire voice actors to do that.
You could generate that on a computer.
Yeah.
You can do that, be fine. Or like that stuff you hear in Animal Crossing.
Right.
Like something like that.
Like when I was talking to developers, when I would, you know, hit up PAX and E3 and things like that, I was always like, hey, if you need an extra voice, I'd love to do something. Just to put my voice in a game, I think it would be great.
Yeah.
But a lot of them, especially your bigger publishers, were restricted. They could not, as much as they would have been like, yeah, sure, you know, be an NPC that just says hello, you know, some stupid thing like that. They can't do it. They have to hire union, you know. They have to.
Yeah.
And so, but in something where it's just gibberish and not actually words, I don't necessarily think they need to hire a voice actor to do that.
Mm-mm.
I don't think it's required of them to do that. So I think they'd be fine. I don't think there's any problem there. And you talk about Star Wars Outlaws, but Outlaws comes out next month. It's not going to be affected by this strike.
Yeah.
Or anything like that. It may, depending on the promotion for it. In other words, the voice actors can't go and promote the game because they'll be on strike for it. Possibly. I'm not sure. Anyway, we got to take a break. We're going back to the Sega CD.
Mm.
This time it's Batman Returns on the Sega CD. Anyway, we'll be back with also Dave's listening up in Colorado. Hey, Dave. He's getting ready to head out to work, but he's listening on the app. So, hey, buddy. Here's some Batman music for you. I don't even know. I don't remember. The Terminator music sounded nothing like Terminator. I got to kind of think that the Batman music ain't going to sound anything like Batman either.
Mm.
We'll see. We'll be right back. I was absolutely right. Welcome back into in-game chat. The name of the game is called 1942. That actually sounds like what music back then would have sounded like for a video game. It is from the Commodore 64. 1942. The theme music for that. Anyway, welcome back into the show. As we got our last little segment here. So we were talking about... Well, we were talking about the video game strike, but going back to San Diego Comic-Con, somebody at the Dark Horse booth, Dark Horse Comics,
yeah,
noticed the figures for Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver.
Mm-hmm.
The branding said Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver 1 and 2 Remastered, which so far we don't know anything about. It has not even been announced.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just sitting there for everybody to see. And I'm really, really interested. And first off, I'm interested in the figures themselves. Big fan of that series.
Yeah.
Huge fan of that series. So a remaster or a remake of those, honestly, I'd like them to go through and do all of them. I would love them to do a remaster of Blood Omen, the very first game.
Mm-hmm.
That would be fantastic. I loved Blood Omen. Then the Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver after that, Soul Reaver 2. Then they went back to, they did Blood Omen 2 after that. And then they did Legacy of Kain Defiance, which was the one that kind of capped it, you know, finished it off, seemingly finished it off. As a game series goes, to find a way to wrap up a story, I think they did a fantastic job in that regard. And I'm kind of okay with them leaving it at that if they want to do that. There's been talk of them expanding that universe in a comic book series, and I'm perfectly okay with that. I'm all for that. You don't need to make more games to go further into the stories of those characters. I'd be perfectly fine with a comic book thing. This says, though, if this is accurate, the project sounds like it will contain remastered versions of the 1999 Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver, released for PlayStation and later ported to the Dreamcast and Windows PC, and the sequel, Soul Reaver 2, which was on PC and PlayStation 2 in 2001. That's right, they were both directed by Amy Hennig, and they were published by Crystal, or they were developed by Crystal Dynamics, and both were directed by Amy Hennig. Seemingly unintended reveal came courtesy of display at Dark Horse's booth, where the company showcased a pair of statues featuring Ra's al and Kain battling each other. Yeah, you're right. That is thunder out there. Now that I hear it in my headphones, that's thunder out there. In 2022, after acquiring Eidos, Crystal Dynamics and the team at Square Enix Montreal, Embracer, who bought them, said in an earnings report that it saw great potential, not only in sequels, but also in remakes, remasters, spinoffs, as well as transmedia products. Just so you know what that means, it just means other video, other media, comic book form, animation, movies, just different types of media. So I hope we get something out of that. It'd be great. And if it comes at San Diego Comic-Con, that's great. You know what I haven't looked at is my feed to see if there is any sort of news out of San Diego Comic-Con while we're doing this. And I'm checking real quick. The problem with a lot of this is that a lot of your video game websites are also reporting on your television and movie news. So I can't always be certain that the headline is something that relates to the movie or to a video game. Okay, absolutely nothing that I can see. Have we gotten any good movie stuff? Eh, some Star Trek things, I guess. I don't know. All right, so you know... This has nothing to do with what we're talking about, video games.
Okay.
You know I have a thing with megalophobia.
Yeah.
I have a weird, like, bad sense of dread whenever excessively, massively, unrealistically large objects exist. I get a little sense
of... It makes your anxiety perk up a bit.
I get anxiety. If I want to feel a sense of vertigo, I just go up to a very tall skyscraper. I never look up when I walk up to them. But if I walk up to the side of a skyscraper and then I look directly up, I will get a bad sense of vertigo. Just really throws me for a loop. Anyway, my whole point of this is that Marvel teased their Hall H presentation that they're doing today with a drone show. And the drone show was the head of Galactus coming up over the horizon in this scale that was like, that would freak me out if I was there. I can already tell just by looking at it that it would freak me out to see it up close. Mm-hmm. Although, sometimes I go looking for those things just to get freaked out by them. Mm. What did I watch last week? I watched Eternals last weekend, Marvel Eternals. It was a very forgettable film.
I was about to say, isn't that the one that got roasted in...
It got massively roasted.
Yeah.
The reason I was interested was for two things. It's got a few moments of megalophobia in it, or a few moments of things that give me that. And the whole season of Marvel Snap prior to this Deadpool thing, which started about 2 weeks ago, the whole season prior to that was dealing with the Eternals And so watching that movie again after messing around with the cards in Marvel Snap, I had a much better awareness because there's a ton of characters in that movie. Mm-hmm. There's like the whole cast of characters, there's like eight whole people. Mm-hmm. And figuring out what their name is, what they do, and all that stuff, I do a lot better after playing Marvel Snap. I just had a better understanding. The movie necessarily didn't get better. I mean, I like it. Mm-hmm. But there just was no way that it was going to survive everything that it had to survive. Mm-hmm. It had to survive reshoots. It had to survive COVID. It had to survive releasing after COVID. It had to survive releasing after Endgame, which was, there was just nothing that was going, everything was trying to fill a void at that time. And I think obviously they've stopped now, or according to the stuff I've seen, Deadpool and Wolverine is going nuts at the box office with the money they're making. Mm-hmm. Apparently they've already made their reported budget back in just 2 days. So yeah, they're fine.
Good start.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. But I have a certain appreciation for the Eternals film. Mm-hmm. I like what it set up, and I like that it's getting called back in the Captain America film that comes out next year. Mm-hmm. So that's just me and my Marvel rant. Sorry. What else do we have in news? Oh, I see what I did here. I see what messed up. Let's see. Did I get this? Yeah. Lego is making a Super Mario World set. It's basically just Mario riding on top of Yoshi. It looks like it's done in the 16-bit form. It's pixelated.
Yeah.
And it moves. Like you turn a crank and little Yoshi's feet move and his mouth opens with his tongue and everything else. Mm-hmm. It's just really, really cool. It comes out, I think, later on. When is it release? October. Mm-hmm. And it'll be $156. So, yeah.
I thought it'd be easy, $300.
I'm surprised that it actually is that cheap. That's not bad. Mm-hmm. It's 1,215 pieces.
Anything about scale?
That's a good question. What is the scale? I don't see anything as far as what the scale is. They do have picked, or they did. I don't know if that's the, that's not the gallery there, but I did see pictures of people holding it or mm-hmm. sitting in front of it, that sort of thing, and it wasn't bad. It wasn't, overly large, I guess.
Okay.
Bowser is huge, by the way.
Should be.
The Bowser they have?
Yeah.
Dude, big. Massive. The question mark block? Massive. Mm. That's another big one as well. So, hey, Fallout fans, Fallout London is a fan-made mod, and it is finally released, and I know you can get it on GOG, Good Old Games. Mm. So if you have Fallout 4 Game of the Year Edition, you can download this mod for free. It is almost full-fledged DLC. It is a total conversion of Fallout 4. Or is it Fallout 3? Sorry, let me make sure. Was I Fallout 3 or 4? Which one was I thinking of? Fallout 4. Fallout 4.
Mm-hmm.
Developed by Team Folon, the mod has been over 5 years in the making and transports the post-apocalyptic game to England's capital city with a whole new story, environments, characters, factions, weapons, and gameplay elements. Due to its size, it won't be available on popular mod hosting sites. So instead, it's available on GOG, Good Old Games, with a custom launcher. It is currently not compatible with the next-gen version of the game, so players will need the pre-patched version. For this reason, players on Steam will need to downgrade before the installation. So, yeah. Keep that in mind, but man, it's like getting a brand new game. Brand new setting, all that stuff.
Breathing life into an old title.
That thing's been in development for a while. I've heard about Fallout London for a very long time. So yeah, that's
looking on their website here. Yeah, just a bunch of folks who just got together and wanted to make this thing happen, and there it is.
Yeah. Next year, not next. Let's see. The Olympic Committee has voted to confirm the first Olympic esports games will happen in 2025. So apparently we're going to get esports games in the Olympics for 24? Was it every 4 years? So 28?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Summer Olympic, yeah.
So I guess, is that a summer game? Is that a winter game? What is it? What is Olympic? What is esports? Where does that fall in?
Wherever's convenient.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably in the summer, I guess. I don't know. It's not a seasonal thing, right?
No, shouldn't be. No, because tournaments and things happen year-round. So.
Hey, C-Red says, hello, Korean gold medals. More than likely, you're right. A lot of the esports, we don't even know the games that are going to be played there. But if it's anything like esports, it's probably not going to be your fighting games. It's going to be your...
U.S. struggles in that too, so yeah.
Yeah, I know. But it's still probably going to be things like League of Legends, things like Dota 2 or stuff mm-hmm. like that, where you know teams play and do yeah. that. So,
you see how efficient, you see how good the U.S. is at World Cup?
Right.
This is going to happen again. Yeah. It's going to happen again this time.
Blizzard's World of Warcraft team has unionized. We talked about the unionization of Bethesda, I think it was.
Yeah,
it was Bethesda last week, and now mm-hmm. Blizzard has unionized as well, the World of Warcraft team. So, again, I am all for unions for the developers. Just take care of these people, man. God, some of the stories you hear about this thing, and which is why I'm glad this is catching on, and I hope that momentum keeps going for these game developers and people who work in video games. They need it badly. They really, really need some protections. I guess finally we'll leave it on this thing, Monopoly Go, which I haven't played today. I haven't turned it on today.
Mm-hmm.
I've been, it's that Deadpool thing I keep trying to do.
You only got a week and a half to do it.
So right, exactly. I just opened that up again too. Anyway, yeah, I haven't done my Monopoly. Anyway, Monopoly Go, collected... What happened now? Recent earnings report that Monopoly Go has brought in over $3 billion in revenue since its release in April last year. That's over 15 million times past Go. An absurd amount of money. This continues a trend of wild milestones for the mobile game, which previously passed the $1 billion mark only 7 months after it launched. Think about that. It passed $1 billion 7 months after it launched.
Mm-hmm.
And then... How many months has it been now? I'm trying to see if it, because now they're over 3 billion. And that was, I mean, how long ago was that? 7 months after it launched.
Hit a billion 7 months after it launched.
Yeah. Like when did the game launch and how long has it been since that? Because I feel like they have easily compounded
April
that.
April of 2023?
Yeah. Yeah. So 7 months after April of 2023, it made a billion.
Okay. It's around November.
Yeah. And now seven more months or so. Well, I don't know how many more months that is. Yeah. About seven more months, I guess.
Yeah. Later on.
Seven or eight more months.
Later on, it makes another 2 billion after that. It
makes another 2 billion after. That's huge. Yeah. Oh, speaking of huge, we're done. I wasn't paying attention to the clock. That will be our last story. Thank you guys for joining us. We do appreciate it. Everybody hanging out in the chat room. Dave listening on the app, we appreciate it as well. Thank you so much. We're going to end this one on a music note for you. It's from, it says PC98. It's the main theme from a game called Xenon is the name of it. So... you guys have a fantastic week. Enjoy it. We will be back next week. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Thank you so much for dropping by. And have a fantastic week, y'all. We'll see you next Saturday.